Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast. On Kaya 959.
With Pimelo Modine.
What's yours?
A very good evening to you. 2 minutes after eight. Welcome to Point of View. And how are you doing today? It's a Tuesday. Welcome to it. Of course, on a Tuesday, we have a book feature. So we're going to be speaking wealth in the continent. Why are we struggling so much? What is it about us? Even with all this resilience and goodwill and all of these wonderful things, why does this continent not thrive? That's a really big question that we're going to attempt to respond to. It's in a book called Unleash the Prosperity in Africa, and we'll have that conversation just after 9:30. Lots more coming up on the show. I don't know if you've been watching Donald Trump, but it's been absolutely fascinating. And I think when you listen to analysts, everybody says, well, we actually don't know. We cannot tell you where Trump is going, what he's thinking, how he's planning to do what he's doing. Everybody's just stunned. I think people are just stunned. I think politicians are stunned. Business is stunned, making it very, very difficult to plan. We heard today that trillions of dollars are going to be sort of sitting idling by because nobody knows what to do. And so we're going to have that conversation with one of our favorites, Kingsley Makubela, just to get a sense of how do we plan, particularly South Africans. He's told us that South Africa is planning to come and see him next week. We're not sure if our president will be heading there, but South Africa has also said, well, you know, there are plans afoot. So how does South Africa plan for a trip like this? How do they plan to have a conversation with Trump, who obviously has decided, he's decided what he thinks about us. When you look at the issue of the refugees, he has been consistent up until yesterday, where he reiterates, no, horrible things are happening in South Africa. There's a genocide there. You know, people are being targeted and. How do you get past that as the president of South Africa? And that's a conversation I'm going to be having, as I said, with Kingsley Makubela, just to get a sense of how do we deal with this current situation as we stand right now. But he's a happy man this evening because he's been making deals in Saudi Arabia, and we'll talk about that as well. How's your tax affair? That's another question we're going to be having a conversation about. How are your taxes? Are you crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's? I can tell you now, you think you know, there is so much that I think we don't know about our taxes. And so we're here to help you. We're going to be continuing with that series with the CEO of NetVest, Busisiwe Mdletshe, who's going to walk us through this journey. It's going to be a series because, you know, we are slowly and very quickly approaching the tax season. We want to make sure that by the time, you know, the last date actually comes in, all of us have done the right thing. All of us are ready. All of us have absolutely understood what we're doing and not necessarily relying on so-called practitioners, because you know what SARS always says, ultimately the responsibility remains yours. So that and more coming up.
Point of View.
Discussing the world around you.
On the street.
On the air.
And at kaya959.co.za.
So you may remember that over the weekend there was an uproar because Pastor Timothy Omotoso was arrested. Allegations of him not having the right paperwork, and he didn't have the proper immigration papers to be in South Africa. And you'd say there was a lot of fanfare. Well, he's now a free man again. I'm going to talk to legal expert Mpumelelo Zikalala just to understand the missteps that we've really, unfortunately, we've been left with egg on our faces, I've got to say, as South Africa, and how we've dealt with these legal questions. So let's start with this very one, dealing with his immigration. Mpumelelo, thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Well, good evening to you, and so good evening to your listeners.
I'm stunned by the what I would call silly little mistakes that we keep making in how we dealing with cases like this. And for me, it's not so much about Omotoso. It's, is this a reflection on how careless we are in many of the cases that this country has to deal with when it comes to legal matters?
In fact, I'd call them very silly little mistakes in which they should have been avoided. If only there was proper communications between the Home Affairs, the investigating officers, and the NPA to say, is this type of matter ready to go to court? Have you dotted all the sentences and crossed all the T's? Because at the end of the day, we do not want to find ourselves in a manner in which we are going to be found wanting. Taking into account what was happening earlier, you have seen his legal team is quite fierce, and they do a thorough work in terms of all the loopholes that are there in the defenses in which they choose. So you do not want to create a mistake. So you should have investigated this before they even went to court. But I do feel that there may be another reason other than the one of saying that the 48 hours has lapsed. Mm-hmm. There are ways and means of going beyond that. Mm-hmm. I think one of the greater issues was that the Home Affairs issue was not yet done. So there are other appeal processes that could have been there. So you can't really say that the person has transgressed or broken the Immigration Act if there's still another step that they need to traverse before they are found guilty or to have contravened the act. So I think it may have been eagerness to try and secure his arrest, not knowing or not having fully investigated whether the act has been transgressed or not.
This is where you then get to have an appreciation of the narrative that when people say, you know, when you have money, you get away with murder. It's not quite that. It's that when you have money, you are able to properly then get representation that will show the loopholes in the system. How do we get around that? Because if we really all were able to get the kind of representation that he got, a lot of us would not have to account for some of the mistakes that we make.
It definitely, and it's knowing if your money is able to buy the best of the best in terms of quality and quantity, then you have individuals that are going to make sure that before they appear in court, they've looked at all these loopholes and they're going to come in there. But the way to counter that from the side of the state is then to say, let me be as innovative and provide the same quality and quantity as they might produce, and make sure that before I go out and I send an instruction to say, can you please go and arrest Mpumelelo? I've done all my research. I've done all my analysis. My legal opinions are on the table. I know the legal risk that will be applicable. And I'm doing it out of pure compliance with what the law is saying and not prosecuting from the heart. Because the minute you start to do that, that's when you're going to make all these mistakes and they're going to keep on coming back. Sometimes making a credible a prosecution process that ought to have been handled in a proper manner, a bit of a shame or something which is not going to work just because you've missed vital things that make the level of a prosecution seems as if you're not prepared or are ill-prepared.
So unfortunately, we've been exposed quite a bit. Recently, we've been seeing how even judges themselves have lamented that, you know, we're not doing a good enough job. The state is not doing its job. And I have to ask you, At this point, where do you think we can close those loopholes? I mean, apart from what you've just said, is it a case of money? Is it better training? What do you think has to happen?
It is money and better training and simply the quality of work. Now, if you look at the workload that I have, for example, compared to a workload in which a regional prosecutor, court prosecutor would have, it's way different. Secondly, I have the luxury of instructing counsel and getting counsel to be on board. So even though I may have 150 cases under my name, but you'd find that out of those 150 is only two or three in which I'm independently working alone with them. On others, I have people that do the research, I have advocates that are going to go to court and argue. So in terms of resources, it's way different. So what then needs to happen from the side of the NPA is to come back and say, okay, because we have this workload, what is it that we can do? Do we engage the state attorney? They're already full, their hands are full with the amount of work that they have. Okay, let's get the private sector to come in at this particular rate because they can be able to assist us. Even if they don't go to court and prosecute, but let me at least instruct them so that they give me better legal opinions and tell me a clear picture because they're going to be non-biased. And they're going to simply render their legal opinions out of what the law would require and what the legislation is and simply leave it at that. Engage them and allow them to assist you. Yes, it's going to cost you a bit of money, but I'd rather pay a little bit of money in terms of research than to go through what they've gone through today in terms of being left with egg on their face, and a possible lawsuit that may come in at the end of the day. Because if a court can determine that you are arrested illegally or you are detained illegally, then it means you can wake up tomorrow and say, I'm suing the state for an unlawful arrest.
Well, and that does happen. So the question I have, and the state has had to pay for that, even for some of the losses as well, where they have to pay costs. So if that is possible, what's your take on why it's not happening?
I think it's the, let me call it the political will and maybe the innovativeness and maybe just the admission to say, we can't do it on our own. We need help in these particular instances. Mm. And the mechanism which is going to be utilized. If you look at our SCM laws, they're very restrictive. So before the NPA could even create a panel of maybe legal practitioners, it would take plus minus 3 to 6 months before that panel is finalized. Then the question is, what do you do within that time? And what about the cases which are going to be high profile that are going to still or continue to come in? The second one is the economic processes that we have. Once you've created that panel and made that advert, in order for you to find those, let's call it the cream of the crop in terms of legal practitioners, they are very expensive. And there are very few of them that are going to leave their practices to go and say, I want to go and work for the NPA or assist the NPA and earn the rates in which they are giving me, unless there's some type of concession that is there. But another thing that you have to come back on a broader perspective is the one of saying there are two other individuals that you are not looking into. One is the judiciary in terms of making things much more smoother when you go to court, so smoother, quicker, so that we're able to deal with all these issues. And the other one is the community itself. At the end of the day, a person who's going to be dealing with all these issues, or a person who's a criminal, either as a brother, a sister, mother, or a father, or there's some type of relations with someone who is a South African citizen, then the question is, why do you want to associate with such person? Are we teaching our kids that the good way to live is to live on the good side of the law? Or is the life which is being portrayed of being criminals much more one which is more lucrative? Other one that comes to mind is the one of saying, when it comes to the religious sector, what type of procedure should be there? Can I wake up tomorrow and call myself Pastor Zigalala and be able to open a church and operate? And if I do so, do I do so under certain regulations, or I'm unregulated and I can simply do whatever that I want to do, just as long as people keep on flocking to me? It's a much more diverse issue and a multifaceted solutions that you have to provide.
And I mean, we've heard, for instance, Shamila Dubatoy speak of the fact that, you know, even when she does have really skilled people, they don't stay very long. You know, they're quickly snapped up by the private sector. And I mean, I'm not sure it's always about the money. I also think culture, support and other things may be part of the reason why some people decide, well, you know, I do want to do this, but maybe, you know, it's better to do it somewhere else where I'm better supported.
And just general appreciation, the one of saying, I'm going to be appreciated in the manner in which I do things. I'm going to be acknowledged in the manner in which I do things. My advice is going to be listened to. You may find that there are a number of advices that are there, and they would render those advices to all sort of important stakeholders, but they're not taken into consideration. Mm. So if that's the case, then the person says, where is the value in what I'm doing? Are people even going to think about the work in which we do on a daily basis? Are we even appreciated in the manner in which we do things? In the criminals that we're able to get into our prisons, are we given the type of recognition that is there? Because truth be told, prisons are full today, not because those people walked in there and said, we've done something wrong, please arrest us. It was a process of an IO doing their job, the prosecutor doing their job, and the presiding officer also doing their job and sentencing them. So if there are going to be positives that come out of our criminal justice system, we should focus on those and then say, how do we close these loopholes so that we're able to find ourselves within the right side of the law and the right side of society?
Appreciate that take. Thank you very, very much for your time. Legal expert Mpumelelo Zikalala, just giving us a sense of why do we keep making these mistakes? Now, of course, you know, I don't want to really focus too much on Omotoso, but when you look at the two cases and how we've bungled them, there really is something to be said about how we need to really, really, you know, just fix how we manage these cases. The NPA needs to clean up its act. The NPA needs to just jack itself up, because we clearly are left wanting, and every single time it's because we, I'd say, we were careless, and we definitely need to do better.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.